It's Monday, the 14th of April, 2014. I'm John Davis, and I'm at the home of Mrs. Elsie Lane. Elsie, would you like to introduce yourself and tell me where and when you were born?
I was born in Gloucester in 1925. And I haven't moved outside a 3 mile radius in all that time.
What years did you work at Fielding and Platt, Elsie?
I started on July the 1st, 1940, and I left at Christmas, when we broke up at Christmas in 1980.
Exactly 40 years, eh? What were you employed as, Elsie? What was your sort of main employment?
Well, I was just clerical in costs and accounts.
Okay. And how did you first learn about Fielding and Platt? Is it anybody who worked there, or was it an advertisement in a paper, or what was it?
I had an uncle who was worked at Fielding's, and it was through him that I learned that they needed clerical staff.
Who was the uncle, Elsie?
Alec Curtis.
Oh, right. So I assume you had an interview. Could you come straight from school, had you, and for the interview? And can you remember much about it?
Yes, I can. My cousin came round and told me that Fielding's were looking for clerical staff, and I was to go for an interview on Sunday afternoon.
Good heavens, that's a bit unusual. Could you remember who interviewed you, Elsie?
Yes. My boss, who was my boss for the 40 years, John Baker.
Oh, right. So what was his, he was in charge of the accounts department, was he?
He had recently come to Fielding's as secretary.
Oh, as company secretary, yeah. Okay. And any idea what sort of questions he asked you about your school days, would it, possibly?
Yes, it was mostly about school days, and I can remember sort of memorising the different classrooms to tell him what lessons I'd had.
Okay. What school was that, Arcee?
Central.
Oh, right. So obviously you were accepted and started. How old were you then, Arcee?
15.
Okay, so you came straight from store, start work. And how did you travel to the company? What path did your journey take?
Well, I lived in Stroud Road, off Stroud Road, which was no distance from Fielding, so in less than 10 minutes I could walk to work, which I did.
All right, along with many others, I expect. You walked down from Stroud Road. Can you remember any interesting places along the way, or any other factories or shops or anything particularly like that, any level crossings?
Well, there were the corporation depot where they kept the horses at that time on the corner of Seymour Road and Stroud Road. And then when you got down to Bristol Road, of course, there was the carriage and wagon company, and there was Morland's. And then, of course, just up the road, there was Fielding's.
Hive of activity then, Elsie, yeah. Did you ever get held up in any level crossings at all?
Occasionally at the railway crossing by Fielding's, but I didn't encounter obstacles until I moved to my present home at Hempstead, where I had four before I could sometimes get into the office.
Well, very often with the employees it was an excuse for being late, wasn't it?
Well, I say there was a railway crossing in Hempstead, at the bottom of Hempstead Lane. You negotiated that, and then the railway went across the road a little farther on. A little farther from that was the swing bridge, and if you negotiated that, sometimes Farm Street would be closed. You had every excuse in the world to be late, but it wasn't accepted.
Okay. Can you tell me what you did in those first few months, Elsie, and who you worked with?
Who I worked with? Well, in the same office, there was Harry Turner and Harold Beard. I didn't work with them because I worked in the same office because they were part of the accounts. But there was a new girl started with me. There was Bert Gillespie. John Jones. Joyce Jones was in the same office because she was working for Mr. Baker at the time. And the new girl with me, we had replaced two boys that had just gone into the Air Force.
Okay, what was the other girl's name, Elsie?
Irene Brown, and I haven't seen her in 40 years.
Never mind, I think we can all say that, things like that. Did you ever go down into the factory, Elsie?
Often. I needed to go... Initially, I don't think we were supposed to go through the factory, but I used to go down the main entrance, the works entrance, to the inward goods, because one of my jobs was checking invoices against what had actually come in. But yes, I was often down the factory.
And what can you recall about sights, the smells, the noise?
The noise in particular, and right close to the works gate, near the goods inward, there was I don't know the names of machine, but this machine, and it had a lot of sort of milky stuff on it, and I don't know what it did. I say, if I lived to be 1,000, I still wouldn't know the first thing about engineering. And one of the things we did there, they must have been tidying up steel in that, because you used to get, they called it swarf, because we used to go down to the factory at Christmas time for the swarf to decorate the Christmas tree.
Wonderful. So the milky stuff would have been a lubricant for the cutting tools. So can you tell me a little bit more about what you did? You mentioned about checking invoices, about what had come in, etc.
Checking invoices and obviously putting the costs onto the accounts that were relevant to it, and pricing. God, what did they call them? Requisitions from the factory, pricing those, and they went obviously onto the jobs. A lot of paperwork, a lot of figures.
So there was a careful check on everything went on, obviously. No, it was wartime. Did you have to carry any identification with you, Elsie?
When I first started, there was nothing. Then finally, we were all issued with little photographs, and we had to show those at the works gate. But we had the fellow at the works gate that knew us all, so it wasn't too much bother. But I can't remember how long that lasted. Probably only during the war. But
I think you told me there was an occasion. There was another gentleman who didn't normally check. And he wanted to see your pass, is that correct?
Yes, he wanted to see my pass on a day that it was pouring with rain, but that's another story.
Well, I suppose you had a job to find it in the bottom of your handbag. And anyway, who was that gentleman? Can you remember his name?
Should I be telling tales? Lance Pitt.
Oh, that's all right. We've heard his name. We've heard his name before. Did you have to clock in, Elsie?
Yes. Oh, yes. You clocked in the morning, out at lunchtime, in again in the afternoon, and out at night.
What sort of form did the clocking in take? Because I know down in the works they had some sort of huge wheel, and they used to have to rotate an arm to find their clock number.
Oh no, we had there was a rack, and we took our card out of the rack and put it into a little machine with a clock on.
Quite simple then. Can you remember any wartime experiences, any blackouts, air raids, or anything about the Home Guard or the fire watchers, anything that went on in the wartime?
I suppose now we wouldn't have, at my tender age, we wouldn't have worked late like we sometimes did. But, I mean, going home in pitch black wasn't much fun if you were working overtime. And I can't remember exactly when, but it wasn't much long, wasn't much after I left school that we were working 7 days a week. We used to work, we had one Sunday off a month.
Good heavens, you didn't have much time for recreation then, did you? But there were no air raids or anything that you can particularly remember?
There was only a couple of occasions where there were raids on Gloucester, and the one I remember was a daylight one. it did damage over Millbrook Street area, the Lower Barton Street area, as far as I remember. But no, we had the sirens regularly, but we were very lucky that way.
So Blackout has probably been very careful with showing lights, etc.
Oh yes. There was the wardens that went round, a bit like Dad's army, shouting out if you were showing light. But no.
Thinking about, you mentioned Dad's army. I believe there was a Home Guard there. Did you ever sort of know anybody that was in the Home Guard?
Oh yes. I knew. Well, I would have known all of them. I think Lance Pitt was one, and Baker, John Baker, the boss, he was another. Jim Fielding was in the Home Guard. Bert Gillespie, I can remember him. There should be photographs flying around somewhere of the Home Guard, because there were pictures taken, I know. And I can remember on one occasion the staff waited on the Home Guard. We had a dinner for them in the canteen. One of the reasons I remember that was my mother was the age when you either had to go out to work or you had to take people in. And this one weekend, this lass had just started at Fielding's, and I said, "Are you going to be helping with the dinner tonight?" Oh, she wasn't sure, because first of all, she had to go and find out where she was staying. So I said, "Well, where have you got to go?" She said, "Oh, Bloomfield Road." And I said, "What number?" So she told me, and she was staying with me. So her name was Pat Shaw. I don't know whether you remember Pat Shaw. She was a London girl. And, well, we stayed in touch until, unfortunately, she died. We used to keep in touch. She eventually worked for the palace in some capacity, because I used to get wonderful Christmas cards from her from the royal household.
Wonderful. You mentioned that you worked 7 days a week and had one Sunday off a month. How many hours of work did you work in the day, Elsie?
God, I can't remember. Honestly, I can't remember, but it must have been sort of normal office hours at that time.
How about when you started at the early age of 14? What sort
15,
of
dear.
15? So I do beg your pardon. What do you tell me? Can you ever remember what sort of money you earned per week?
Oh, I can. I can indeed. I had 16 shillings, and I thought I was wealthy. Mother had 10, and I had I didn't get 6, because you had to pay a stupid amount, like about sixpence, old sixpence, I think it was your... Oh, what do they call it? Not an audit. Yes, not your insurance, was it? What did they...
No. We better forget that word. Never mind. Yeah. We'll remember later. So, time passed. You've obviously settled in. Did your duties change? Your duties and responsibilities change much? And did you work with different people?
Well, obviously, the staff changed. My work didn't change, because it was still sorting figures and pricing stuff. So no, that didn't change. But obviously, girls came and went. I mean, they married and they had families. Unfortunately, we didn't have a family, so of course that's why I stayed on work.
Now, you've got a photograph somewhere, Elsie, of a group of people, which are apparently are all the accounts department. Is the accounts department, is it?
Yes, Austin Accounts. Yes.
There's probably about 20-odd people in there. How many of those can you name, Elsie?
Peter Morgan, John Jones, Bert Gillespie, Fred Collinborn, Mr. Evans. He was a cashier, accountant. Doug White, Ernie Gillespie, and that one's name, what did we say it was? Rich, Harold Beard. In front we have Pat Greening, Dorothy Gill, Shirley Wyatt, John Baker, who was the boss, Pauline Greening, myself, I can't remember her name, and Jean Souter.
Wonderful. What a good memory you've got, Elsie.